You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you are interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support.
Sometimes we cherish the memories of our loved ones we've lost in our life. Sometimes we are haunted by the memory of them. And sometimes they literally manifest themselves in front of us and end up being our own harassing guardian angel. And that's exactly what happens in writer-director Monica Zanetti's debut feature, Ellie and Abby and Ellie's Dead Aunt. As 17-year-old Ellie struggles to find the right way to ask her crush Abby to the school formal, she proudly and bluntly comes out to her mom, causing a rift between the pair, mediated by their family friend Patty. On Ellie's journey of summoning the courage to ask Abby out, or alternatively being rejected, she is suddenly haunted by her dead aunt Tara, an LGBTQ rights activist who died in the 1980s. Aunt Tara doesn't want to be called a ghost, though, but rather a fairy godmother, a pun she's quite proud of. I am TC DeWitt of the Screener Squad, and I am joined today to discuss this Aussie coming-out, coming-of-age film by Trevor.
Hi, how is everyone?
And Matt.
It's a me, Mattio.
And I have here in my notes to introduce our final squad member as our token lesbian, Jordan.
I actually am the only lesbian on this review about a coming-of-age story for queer girls, so...
We appreciate you being here with us.
My fee's extra, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I was saying off mic that I was really glad that Jordan was on this record having watched the movie now.
Yes. Well, squad... Who would like to go to the formal with me?
All right. First off, I will give this movie an immediate strike for... fuck. Oh, I didn't think I'd even hate more an Australian version of a fucking promposal, but god damn it. All right. Now that I got that out of the way, I love this movie.
Well, I'll just piggyback off that real quick and say there are elements of this movie that feel dated, that don't quite feel 2021. They feel a bit more mid-2000s, and it might be because this was adapted from a 2016 stage play that Zanetti produced. And a little factoids about this real quick before we launch into the overall review. She decided to adapt this stage show into a film when the response to the play was so overwhelmingly positive. However, she had a stipulation that the film feature at a minimum a 50% LGBTQ cast. When she went looking for funding for the project, she was met with resistance from any distributor and sales agents that she reached out to. She said, if you want to have a queer cast, that's fine, but you need to be surrounded by famous people to have a chance. So frustrated by that, she ended up crowdfunding this movie and raised $50,000 for the production budget. That amount was matched by the Australian Match Lab Creative Partnership. And then with that, she shot a trailer that went to Cannes, or Cannes, depending on what part of the world you're from. And that is where she procured enough funding from the company Arcadia as a distributor to film this full feature. So... the struggle is real all around the world to seek films with representation. And I find that quite a beautiful journey to get to this point.
Well, and I think, you know, it has been a long road to get here, but I also think just the progress of time and the way the world changes and the way this issue has changed over the last several decades is very much at issue in the film. I have to admit, I signed up for the film based on the title alone, Literally, I'm not joking, thinking this was going to be some kind of like Weekend at Bernie's thing.
I did the exact same thing.
And then when I watched the trailer right away and I'm like, well, that's not what this is, but this looks kind of good. And then I immediately forgot it. And then we, you know, comes time for the review, we get our screener and I'm watching this and I'm like, oh, this is going to be this adorable coming out story with a fairy godmother and like, okay, I'm in for this. And it's not that either. And what it is this kind of real generational discussion about how gay politics is handled, how coming out is handled. And it's all from a perspective I have no idea about this. I have no idea about LGBTQ coming out politics versus coming out in 1986 here in the United States, let alone in Australia. And so this was all very fascinating to me, and I think it was handled in a very good way. And then there is that kind of superficial asking the girl out to prom story that we're all kind of familiar with, where our protagonist is just kind of awkward and not good at social situations, and so you're really rooting for him. And so it has that as a backbone, but on it is this really, for me, a unique perspective that I just had not seen or considered before.
I liked how they had the really young person was actually like, no, I've actually processed this. It's not that she's a girl. It's just that I'm awkward about asking anybody out.
Right.
I'm over that hump. I don't need you as my ghost person to be processing your shit. That was a strange reversal that I actually kind of liked.
Yeah. I love knowing that backstory that TC just gave, because it makes me even love the film a lot more, and well, even bumps my grade up a bit. I found this film just so charming and also a bit too brutally honest. I mean, yes, I think it personally handles generational gap very well. Like, it does actively explore the differences so well in how it was in the 80s versus how it is now, where, yeah, now society may seem more accepting, mm-hmm. may seem more open, but there's still its own challenges. I know there were for me with the double whammy of coming out as trans and lesbian. And this also transported me back to some high school awkwardness of being just a completely different person, but still essentially in Ellie's shoes. And I do want to say, I think the performances by Sophie Hawkshaw as Ellie and Zoe Tarax as Abby are goddamn amazing. I absolutely love them. And I'll be honest, I was also in a bit of a downer place when I booted up the screener, but this movie gave me a good cry and honestly also made me smile so much.
Yeah, I was not expecting to feel that hard.
Same for me. I thought, oh, this is gonna be a comedy. The way it starts out, it has some nice modern conventions of the cutaways and the split screens, and I appreciated that it established its tone and style. Well, its style very quickly, and then the tone came out of it where, yeah, it is a sweet film that's going to get you right in the feels, and the cliches of the coming-of-age high school stuff is handled very well. It's the stuff that's beyond that that's handled so well.
I really like at one point Patty has a conversation with the lead where she delivers the line, you get to be a certain age and you realize like your parents are just people.
Yes.
That is a staggering realization that does hit you like on the, I am of course supple in 26, but it is something that hits you on the cusp of like your entry into early middle age. You go, oh, my mom was like 23 when she did that.
Yeah.
When I was 23, I couldn't even like boil water, you know? And I also like that in the course of the movie's plot, it explores how, so Patty starts as a quote unquote family friend.
Mm-hmm.
And in the course of learning the truth about what happened to her aunt, this girl who is so cool with quote unquote modern politics, you know, for living people that are in their 50s or 40s up, this is a single generation of politics. I do comedy, and we had a show at a gay bar the other night, and we're all there, and there's a sign on the wall that says, this is a gay bar. It is a explicit safe space for homosexual, bisexual, transgender people. And if you are not okay with that, you know, leave under penalty of ejection.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the younger people with us was like, who is that for? Like, who doesn't know? Why does that sign have to be there? And I'm like, it's because this is a 50-year-old gay bar, and it's here because people used to come there and start shit. Now, people still do, actually. They just are a much smaller minority now.
Even I'm realizing I'm struggling to find any sort of safe havens for myself. Hell, I could go off on a fucking diatribe of how apparently fucking lesbian phobic some sides of Twitter apparently appear to be. But I instead want to talk about how just goddamn effortlessly charming this movie is, because I went through all the gamut of emotions watching this, especially when it came to the reveal of what happened with Ellie's aunt, and that just made me pause the movie for a bit so I can collect myself. Mm-hmm. It also just made me think, this is kind of how I wish my fucking life went. This is just how I kind of wish how my sort of high school life went if I just found myself that much earlier in life instead of well into my 30s.
I feel like that's something this movie, as all good coming of age movies do, which is touch on that very universal theme of self-discovery, of understanding who you are. And as you said, effortlessly charming. That's what this movie just nails so well, is the very real relationship between a child and a parent and the others in the circle of their life.
Yeah.
And how those relationships change and alter over the course of a significant event, whether it be something as small as asking someone out to the formal or prom, or something as big as coming out and grappling with that. And that's why I love movies like this, love coming of age films like this.
And they also cover like a lot of interesting like intra movement politics. Like at one point, Abby says to Ellie, I know this is all like super new for you, but it's not for me. I was outed years ago.
Yeah.
So this isn't a novel crush for me. So come correct or don't come at all, basically. I also really liked how the theme of discovery through authenticity is extended to the older people. Like, she's presented as a close family friend, but there is a moment where, like, after all the details have been spilled and the mother is now acting more authentically, and because she was not processing the incident and was existing in a place of denial, mm-hmm. Patty is like a delivery driver and she doesn't have to be. She's just desperately busy.
Yeah.
And there's this moment where all those little micro threads get resolved. And after that, there is a very perceptible shift where Ellie and her mom start treating her like 100% actual family and not a close friend, which is Patty is revealed to be Aunt Tara's widow. That was very interesting, because that survivor is usually, when it's explored at all, it's usually like a very pinch-faced, wan, drawn spouse of an off-screen person that's been placed in the refrigerator.
Right.
And they just did it differently here. And by having the woman, and the ghost mechanics in this are very reminiscent of like, nobody can see her but Ellie.
Mm-hmm.
But having her there to see that resolution changed it from being one of those tokenized moments for me.
Yeah, Matt, that's what I think the strongest part of this film is while there are definitely tropey moments in here, and this is definitely asking the girl out to prom story that we've seen 100 times before, every single struggle in this feels earned. Everything here feels sincere. Even though we are sympathizing with the plight of our protagonist, there are a couple of moments here where healthy boundaries are established and we have to say, hey, listen, I understand you're working through this, but I'm not here as your therapist. Like, this is something you're going to have to go alone and figure out for yourself before we move forward. And I think that's just really healthy and really realistic, and something we don't see a lot of is that genuine earned moment where nobody's struggle here feels fripperous or
without overcorrecting to the point that it like becomes unresolvably awkward too. Like, it's like, I don't owe you any therapy, but I will stick with you if you go get
right.
It doesn't get into that incredible, can't we just use our words and get out of this, that romantic comedies fall into a lot, rely on a lot.
And I was so grateful for that not happening. And I do think there is something earned or gained by adapting this from a stage show, that this started as a stage play. Stage plays versus screenplays, you have to handle a lot of stuff, I feel, having written both and coming from that background, that you have to write characters and arcs a certain way for the stage to resolve it very, very clearly, and finding the nuances in every little character and not wasting any moments and not wasting any of the viewer's time with frivolities. And I can see all the telltale signs of something that's been adapted from the stage to the screen in this, and I mean that as a good thing, because I can point to other stage plays, plays specifically, not musicals, that have been adapted to movies, and they have a similar, albeit subtle, similarity in them.
Yeah.
In the writing.
If I'm not grading it on a budget-based curve, there are a few little, like, just sort of mechanical shortcomings. On a 100-point scale, you might dock it 10 points for it, you know?
Like the prom having 10 kids at it kind of thing?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. that were related to the scale of the film. But this one time, I'm going to grade this one on a curve. And on a curve, sorry, I did one of those moot point things. I've criticized a couple things. Like, one of my criticisms of Fences was that it seems like it's just a VHS of the play.
Mm-hmm.
That is true here to a degree. There is at least some set variety and stuff here. Like, a lot of the device of Patty being an Uber driver does give them an excuse to sort of randomly move around town and put some set variety into it. So I think they did exceptional with what they had. Like, Abby is a self-described horse girl. They represent this only through her, like, at one point, like, showing up in her riding clothes and stuff. They didn't have the money for, like, the crane shot of the horse ranch, you know?
Right.
But I totally forgive that.
Well, since you are discussing grading this on the scale, I don't want to move into final thoughts here as a way to rush us to the finish of this review, but I do think you're at a good point here to continue on your final thoughts here.
If we must apply the cold calculus to something that warmed our hearts, like I said, there's some staging and some production scale things here I kind of want to ding it for. The incident that the aunt died in was an act of, it was a hate crime, right?
Mm-hmm.
They do ultimately explore investigating that a little more. I do like that they avoided, like, we catch the people and then you can move on. I like that it does not go there, but they only touch on it very lightly, and it does leave the plot hole of, like, well, it's a real shame that these people waited literally 20 years to process their baggage so that they could then apparently investigate this very solvable crime. I give that, like, a mild plot hole score, but then I think that's thematic, so I give it half the points back. All told, I'm going to give it a 9 out of 10 political buttons on a denim vest.
I don't want to sell this as a comedy, and that's not to say this isn't funny, because it is. There are some wonderfully awkward and all too real moments of levity in this that I'll admit I related to quite a bit. I had some nice flashbacks to my own high school pursuits of love. But by saying this is a comedy, which, like Trevor, I came into this by title alone thinking, this is going to be hilarious. With saying it's a comedy, there are preconceived notions with that genre that I think might cause some people to sit back, fold their arms, and say, okay, make me laugh. But you shouldn't go into this expecting a raucous laugh-a-minute movie. This is sweet and touching, and it's cute as hell. And I'm entirely impressed by not just the heart of the story, but the fact that Monica Zanetti crowdfunded to make this happen. That's admirable as hell. The performances feel so natural and real. I love that these girls look real. They don't have the Netflix sheen, the Disney sheen to them of beautiful, normal kids. No, they feel like real girls, albeit Australian. They still feel very contemporary, real people. And I like the clever use of the cuts and the split screens to establish a good comedic style to it. And the score and the soundtrack have a good head bopping beat to it without ever being pop songs that would date it. So I also appreciate that. It does feel more episodic than cinematic. And I'm not saying that as a negative, but rather as an observation. This was perfectly suited for home viewing. And I wouldn't have minded if this ended up as a 6-part Hulu series, because there were all these wonderful characters being explored through subtlety that I wouldn't have mind a little bit more expansion on. As Matt just stated, there's a little bit of unexplored territory in the history of what happens to these characters, specifically Tara. And I think it would have benefited from expanding on the world just a little bit, particularly Tara, because the ghost aunt element, I think, is underutilized. I think that it almost felt unnecessary. Maybe one visit Ebenezer Scrooge style to kick this off, and then a return at the end. Or I wish they had just gone full tilt on this and seen more of Tara, more moments. Because she was so lovely. The chemistry between her and Ellie is so good. I just wanted more of that. because it just left me smiling. And this whole movie left me smiling. So all in all, I'm giving this 7 out of 10 AFL footballs over fences. Trevor, why don't we hear from you next? Because I'd love Jordan to wrap this up for us.
Sure, sure. This is striking on some weird territory for me, too, because I started quarantine as a single guy in my 30s. I'm ending quarantine. Well, I'm continuing the pandemic.
We're in second quarantine.
Now I'm parenting a 6-year-old. I have a longtime serious partner, and we're expecting a baby. And so something that hit me about this that would not have hit me maybe last year was the parenting angle on this. And I think there's a really sincere, good story here about the mother in this story. You know, somebody who is raising a teen who is having a problem. You're trying to be as supportive as you can, but you are also trying to shield her from some painful truths. And you're just a human. You're doing the best you can. And maybe you didn't make those right choices, but don't tell me that I'm a bigot, lady. I've seen some shit, you know? Right. And so that was a great story for me because my kid is going to have two grandmothers who were in a relationship together. My partner is the result of a gay relationship. So that's something that we want to be open to in raising our kids and what are the best practices there. So this is something that, once again, just taking on that unique perspective, it's like, oh, these are things I hadn't even considered that I should probably have chambered for later in life. So this one really resonated with me on that level. It resonates as a charming, adorable story about coming of age. It's skillfully done. It's well written. It's really well performed. And I just loved all of this. I think I'm going to give this 8 out of 10 wadded up pieces of paper with conversation starters on them.
And Jordan.
Like I said, this movie really got to me. I'm pretty sure everyone heard it earlier, as I was saying, because I think this is the closest I've gotten to being actually emotional on a review. Still trying to keep it together. Because this movie did deeply resonate with me. And I feel like I've said all I need to, but I absolutely adore this movie. Yes, I have some problems, just budget constraints, but trying to actually make queer movie with queer people by queer people, apparently, that's still a fucking tall task. Might explain a lot about my career, but the performances here absolutely spoke to me. Even if it looks cheap, I can't not recommend this movie. It's one of my absolute favorites of this year. It is beautiful, heartbreaking, funny, and resonating. And I loved what we had of Tara because I just thought those moments were used so well, especially when she even revealed, like, oh yeah, I was there for the moment you realized you are gay, and which might have been the funniest scene in the whole movie for me. Actually feels authentically coming of age and, you know, relatable to teens. You know, fucking kissing booth. I'm going to give it 9.5 out of 10 rugby balls.
Well, I'll say this, Jordan. We're grateful to have you on this review, of course. I know we were glib and joking about it, but I am genuinely happy that we had some representation in this review. But more than that, I want to thank you for just being a part of One of Us. Because I think, like the sign Matt saw at that bar, One of Us has that sign loud and proud right at the core of everything this site is, which is, if you got a problem, get the fuck out, or we will see you out. I don't think I'm wrong in stating that for Chris and the entire site at large.
Do that again with more snaps. You almost got there. We will see you out.
We will see you out.
Speaking of see you, special shout out to the Australian deployment of the C-bomb in this.
Yeah.
Which would not be allowed in a family movie of this magnitude.
Oh, absolutely.
Where U.S. produced. Yeah. It's a key plot point, in fact, at one point.